Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Luke 15, verses 1 and 2. It says there, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. You see, this afternoon I want to do something, I suppose, a little bit different. I want to draw particular attention to what the enemies of the Lord Jesus said about him here. You see, the Pharisees and scribes murmured, they complained about the Lord Jesus Christ. They said about him, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." You see, this afternoon we are not here to speak about ourselves, which I'm sure you'll be glad about, because I can't do anything to help you. I can only direct you towards the person that can, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. We preach not ourselves, as the New Testament says, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And as we've read together, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Let me just emphasize this to you this afternoon, all the publicans and sinners. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, as he lived here amongst regular people, he did not look down on anyone. The simple lesson we can draw from this beautiful couple of verses here is just the simple fact that all people, no matter who you are welcome to come to Christ. You are welcome to come to him this afternoon, if I could make it personal to you. You are welcome to come to Christ. You see, publicans, or as we can translate it, tax collectors, who were traitors to their fellow Jewish people, they collected taxes for the Romans, they were welcome to come to Christ. So no matter your societal status or your wealth, all are welcome to come to Christ. And even those who the Pharisees would look down upon and say, "These people are sinners," even they were welcome to come to Christ. The Pharisees were self-righteous and religious, and they looked down upon others for their sort of low moral standards. But everyone is welcome to come to Christ. No matter how good you are, no matter how bad you are, or how bad you even think you are, we're all welcome to come to Christ. That's what the Pharisees were complaining about here. This man receives sinners. And it is true, he does receive sinners. And let me just, again, make this personal to you. You need him this afternoon. We haven't come here to tell you, as I said, about ourselves, but we've come here to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no better person that you could listen to this afternoon than to listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter, speaking about the Lord Jesus, says in John 6, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life." So this afternoon, if I could pose to you this question, do you want to be right with God? Do you want to have eternal life? That is to say that you have a relationship presently at this very moment. You have a relationship with God, the God that has created us, the God to whom we will have to give account. If you want to have eternal life this afternoon, then Christ is the answer. He's the only answer, in fact. As he says in John 14 and 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me." And so tonight, dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is making an exclusive claim. This man receives sinners. And today, you stand in need of him, and he would gladly receive you, if only you would come to him. So I wonder, if we just think about this, what words would these tax collectors and sinners have heard from the lips of the Lord Jesus Christ? There are many examples of where the Lord Jesus spoke to people just like this. As it says in Matthew 11 and 28 and 29, "Come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Or perhaps words like these would have been spoken to them in John 5:24. Truly, truly, I say to you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Or perhaps it would have been words like these, the words of John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Or words like these, John 6:37. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. You see, all of these verses that I've quoted to you, they all apply to us this afternoon as well. The Lord Jesus is still, as it were, beseeching us and saying to us, come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden. You see, we learn in the New Testament that Christians, one of the purposes for which we are here and holding a meeting like this is because we are the ambassadors of Christ. And it is as if God is beseeching you through us to be reconciled to him through his Son. And so we stand before you, not here, as I said, to speak about ourselves, but we are the servants of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are your servants for his sake. And so the Lord is saying to you today, through his word, come unto me, all ye who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You know what? It's not just the words that the Lord Jesus spoke either, it's the tone he used. I wonder how would he have spoken these words? As it says in Luke 8:22, that everyone bore him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And he's one who always spoke the truth in love. And let me just emphasize this to you again. He loves you too. He loves you too. And he would gladly receive you today, dear friend, if you're willing to come to him. You see, this is relevant for all of us this afternoon, as you know, the scribes are murmuring, they're complaining in verse number 2, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. They are scornful words. They're saying this in derision of the Lord Jesus, but they are completely true. This man does receive sinners. This is said by the enemies of the Lord Jesus, as I said. These are religious, self-righteous people that are speaking these words. And they thought that they didn't need the Lord Jesus. And they are just very simply relying upon their own good works. They're relying upon their keeping of the law, the Old Testament, to make themselves right with God. But you see, the Bible is very, very clear. We all need him. We all need him. And it is true that this man does receive sinners. And he still receives sinners today. Which is good news for us all, because the Bible in fact compares us to be like sheep wandering in Isaiah 53:6. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You see, we're all sinners. The Bible is so clear about this. It says in Romans 3, for there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you see, this is not a sort of academic exercise. We're not here to just tell you about a sort of series of facts. We're here today to present to you a Saviour. You see, I'm so glad that I can say to you this afternoon that he has received me. Not because I deserved it, not because I have merited this in any way whatsoever, but just simply because he gladly receives all those who will come to him in faith. So this afternoon, can I just say to you again, this man receives sinners. He would gladly receive you. So then, if we're presenting to you the Lord Jesus, I just want to focus for a little while on the first part of verse number 2. This man receives sinners and eats with them. Who is he? Well, the Bible's very clear, as I've said. He is the Son of God. John 1:18 says that no one has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. So the Lord Jesus Christ has made God known, as he's said to be in 1 Timothy 3:16. He is God manifest in flesh. That is to say that he shows us who God is and what God's character is like. As I said, we are not here to preach ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We just very simply want to point you again towards him, He is the one who's able to save you this afternoon. And to quote to you the words of John the Baptist, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Now I wonder if you've ever read through the gospel accounts for yourself. Examine his life, and please, by all means, do this at your leisure when you go home or at a time convenient for you. But look at his life. Look at the miracles that he performed. Miracles even from the very outset of his public life, public ministry. Think about Mark chapter 2, where he heals a paralyzed man. The man, you remember the story probably, that the roof is broken up, the man's lowered down into the presence of the Lord Jesus on a stretcher. And when the Lord sees the faith of that man and his friends, he says to him and to his friends, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Now this is a bold claim, isn't it? And the Pharisees, the same kind of men and scribes that were there, are there on that occasion as well. And they say, "Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And that is a fantastic question. Now, of course, they missed entirely the import of what they were saying themselves. They missed who he was. He is God manifest in flesh. Who can forgive sins but God only? And there he is in their very presence, the Son of God, who is able to forgive sins. You know, the Lord Jesus says in response to this, because he knew what they were thinking, he says to them, "Which of these two things is easier to say? Your sins are forgiven, or take up your bed and walk?" Now, of course, both of them are impossible, aren't they? A normal man can't forgive our sins because we've committed them against God. And a normal man cannot raise a paralyzed man to walk again. And so he says in verse number 10 and 12, "That you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he says to the paralyzed man, "I say unto you, arise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, and went forth before them all. And they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it in this fashion." Or even Matthew 14 that we're thinking about this afternoon, just in ministry, when the Lord Jesus Christ walks on the water in the middle of a storm out to the disciples, and he knew exactly where they were, and he knew exactly the right time to come to them to help them. And he calms the raging storm when he gets back into the boat. You see, as the Lord Jesus Christ said, he did all these things to demonstrate that he had power on earth to forgive sins. And his miracles demonstrate to us exactly who he is. He is the Son of God. As he said, "I am from above, you are from beneath." You see, the Bible speaks about him in this manner, that he is holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. You know, he's not like you and I. He's absolutely perfect. He doesn't have any flaws or faults. And yet, I'm so glad about this, that he was not too proud or pious like these Pharisees to be associated with hated people like tax collectors and sinners. You see, dear friends, he was there to fulfill the purpose of God. And in fact, he was there on a divine rescue mission to save guilty sinners just like you and I. You know, the Lord tells a parable in the verses just directly following what we've read together, verses 3 to 7. He speaks about a shepherd searching for lost sheep, about leaving the 99 sheep in the fold and going after one sheep that's out in the darkness. And as I've quoted to you already, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And just in that same way, dear friend, this afternoon, we are the lost sheep. And he came seeking for us. He came seeking for you. But of course, to do this, to save the lost sheep like you and I, he didn't come just simply to live a perfect life, because that wouldn't have been enough. This meant for him, he would have to go to the cross of Calvary. You see, he spoke so often to his disciples about how he was going to be delivered up to death. He would be killed and he would rise again. And I just want to direct you again to Calvary. It's spoken about in all of the gospel accounts, of course. But in Mark 15 and Luke 23, we read about what the scribes and Pharisees say on that occasion as well. They mockingly say about the Lord Jesus, "He saved others. Himself he can't save." And of course, there is a measure in which this is true. He would not, he could not save himself, because he was there for a purpose. See, there's many ways in which we can view the cross this afternoon. We can view it as a miscarriage of justice, as an innocent man delivered up to death. And it is all of those things, in a way. But it is most definitely this, the plan of God, that he should be there to suffer on account of our sin. And this was a voluntary act of sacrifice by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said himself, "The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." He knew exactly why he was here, and that was to go to the cross. It says about him in Acts 3:22 and 23 that Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God, was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So the Lord Jesus Christ going to the cross was planned so that he would go there to suffer on our account. And just like the parable that I referenced in Luke 15:3-7, just exactly in the same way, he is the shepherd that is seeking for the lost sheep. And for us to be right with God, that shepherd went into the darkness to rescue us. You see, the cross was veiled with darkness for 3 hours. And of course, in those 3 hours, prophecy would be fulfilled. I've quoted to you already part of the verse. "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." All of our sins, all of our wrong deeds, all of our evil thoughts, all of our awful motivations at times, they were all laid on him. It was prophesied in the book of Zechariah, if you go away and look at it, I think it's chapter 13 or 14. Forgive me, I can't remember exactly, but it says there, "Awake, O sword, against my shepherd and against the man that is my fellow, smite the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered." You see, what the Bible is showing to us this afternoon is that the sword of divine justice fell on Christ instead of us. He took the place of guilty sinners like you and I. And if we are willing to trust him this afternoon, we can go free. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ said with a loud voice, "It is finished." And he was bow his own head and give up his own life. Voluntarily, willingly, doing all of this. And that's why this is so relevant to all of us this afternoon. Because he died and rose again. And today this man is still in the business of receiving sinners. You know, Paul, speaking in 2 Timothy 1 and 10, says, "Our Saviour Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." See, dear friends, I want to emphasise this to you, that if someone predicted that they would die and rise again, and they did it, we should pay very clear attention to what they have claimed and what they have said. And today that same person is saying to you, "Come unto me, all you who labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, this is not some kind of make-believe fairy tale fantasy, so to speak. He truly died and rose again. You see, he appeared to his disciples with the nail wounds of Calvary in his hands and his feet, with the spear wound in his side, the visible marks of crucifixion. And of course, the Romans were experts in their field at putting people to death. And you see, he didn't just appear to one or two people. He appeared to individuals, yes. He appeared to all of the disciples in the upper room. And he appeared to 500 people at one time. This isn't some kind of mass hysteria or mass hallucination. 500 people all at the one time. And this is the people with which he travelled, who knew him intimately, who knew the man that they had followed for over 3.5 years. And they were convinced that this was the same man who was right before them. And in fact, they would go on to die for that very claim. Many of the apostles and disciples would be put to death. None of them would recant. None of them would say, "Oh, I made it up." They died for the claim that they saw the Lord alive again. And so let me just say, it would be a great tragedy this afternoon to know that this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, receives sinners such as you and I, and not to go to him. As it were, his nail-pierced hands are outstretched to all of us this afternoon. They are open wide to receive us. The Bible poses a really, really sobering question. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? You know, we can just do nothing about the gospel message. We can just do nothing about Jesus this afternoon. But the Bible says, how are we going to escape? That rhetorical question essentially saying to us, we can't escape if we neglect so great salvation. You see, there is judgment to come. As I said, we are going to have to stand before God. And as the Bible says, because there is wrath, beware. You know, we must do something about this problem of our sin, because God is holy and righteous, and we're going to have to give account. You know, I wonder this afternoon, can you only say, like the scribes and the Pharisees, this man received sinners? But you can't say, he received me. Can you only say, like they said at the cross, he saved others? But you can't say, like Paul, and like I can say, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, this afternoon, let me emphasize this to you. We do not need to depend on anyone else or anything else, upon our own efforts, upon our own kind of intellectual way to get right with God. To have our sins forgiven, we just very simply need to come in faith to the man who receives sinners. You see, he wants you to be in heaven. He wants you to be saved. He died for you. He gave his life up for you. He suffered agonies and hours of darkness so that you could be forgiven. And now the Bible says that God can be just. That is to say, God can remain just and be the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. God can quite rightly declare us righteous and fit for heaven, fit for his presence, because Christ has died in our place. If we are willing to accept this afternoon, God can grant unto us, let me be more definite, not only can he will grant to us eternal life. The Bible is so clear. He that has the Son has life. He that has not the Son of God has not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. You see, this is black and white language this afternoon. We either have him or we don't. We're either saved or we are lost. We're either in the light or we're in darkness. We're either dead or we are alive. And today, as I said, dear friend, listen to the words of the enemies of the Lord Jesus. This man receives sinners and eats with them. And today he wants to receive you. He wants to save you. But of course, he's not going to do this against your will. You're just very simply going to have to come to God in faith and believe that God sent his Son to the cross to die on your account, to save you from your sins. And he rose again the third day as he promised he would. And I wonder, are you willing today to accept him? And to know the peace and the joy and the assurance that I know, as I said, not because I am worthy of it or merited it in any way, because I have not and I do not. But I just very simply came to the man that receives sinners. And today you can come to him as well and be saved. Thank you for your attention. May God bless his word. Let's pray.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.